as I mentioned, you've been here before as the founder and the executive director of the Immigrant Development Center. I saw some of your comments recently, so I wanted to understand a little bit about the fear, the concerns that you had mentioned among the local Somali community. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, the Somalis moved in this area since 1996. We have quite a very nice community around here who have been around close to 30 years now. This June, it will be 30 years. So they had their children here. They work in local businesses. My husband, he works in Babcock up to now.
And most of them American citizens.
They are citizens, yeah. Naturalized citizens.
Yeah.
And their kids are now citizens also. And they're going to college in NDSU like my daughter does. And so we're just trying to make sure people understand that there is a lot of good people within the Somali community. There is some bad apples in Minnesota that came out, but, you know, our Somalians in Fargo-Moorhead have been nice and good citizens who are paying their taxes and minding their business. And so we just want to make sure everybody understands that they are legal here. They came through the right door.
Sure did. Yeah.
They came as a refugee and they went through all the, the interviews and
all the process.
Yeah, yep. Background
check. Stood in line, waited in line.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we are just trying to say, look, we are not part of what's going on, and we really want our community to come down and understand that we are part of this community.
And you've described that so well over the years, and I think what we've seen in Fargo-Moorhead, the vast majority of these people have contributed mightily, mm-hmm. As you say, whether it's a job, going to school, providing for their careers, all of that, which is why I was confused why the community would be traumatized, to use your words, because nothing to fear, right? I mean, they're here, they're gainfully employed, they're legal. What is their fear?
Well, a lot of people have been picked up. There was a young man who was going to shop for his family, and the ICE came and picked him up and later on released him, and that created fear. A lot of mothers calling me, asking me, should we send our kids to school? Should we go to work? I told them, you are here legally, so the ones who are worried are the ones who didn't come through the right door. And yes, there is fear when some of the people who have paperwork already and became citizens are picked up. That creates fear through the community.
Was that a case of mistaken identity? Or?
I don't know what it is, but it was some kind of mistake.
Because the person was detained and then released.
Released, yeah.
Yeah. So I can imagine with that family, but thankfully that's rare, right? That's not happening on any kind of regular basis here, is it?
Yeah, yes. And so, the system knows the bad apples. They know the ones who are criminals, felonies. They are in the system. They know them. And so they can easily find them, too. They have their family's address, everything. But the ones that who are in fear right now are the one who have done everything right.
See, here's what I don't understand. If I did everything right, I had the papers, I'm gainfully employed, I'd be mad at the fraudsters. First of all, as you mentioned earlier, bad apples, right?
Yes, yes.
The statistics tell us in Minnesota, of the fraud committed, 90% are from the Somalian community.
Right.
So that's a large amount of bad apples. Different story altogether here,
right.
as you described very well, where the vast majority of people are gainfully employed, have their papers, American citizens, been here contributing for 30 years.
Right.
It's a great story.
Yes.
I'm mad at them.
Yes. Well, yeah. The stories that are coming out from Twin Cities are very kind of, it's for us, we wonder how come they let them that long. How come nobody monitor them? There is questions that we still have. Why? Where is the check and balances? Where is the government workers?
Couldn't agree anymore. It's gone on for way too long.
Why did that go on for so long? And why it went to billions? So, you know, that doesn't happen in North Dakota. There is balance. If you even, you know, work with the government of North Dakota, they have a staff that follow up with you. Do you go through auditing every year? And so there is accountable government workers in North Dakota. And so I will blame the mistake. You know, it's not came from one side alone. It is they have let them without supervise, let me tell you.
Yeah,
this should be cut of the first 20,000. When I cut that check, I will be checking with you rather than 20 million. You know, that's a heck of a lot of money.
You were telling me about financial accounting that happens when you take a grant.
Yes.
So, which obviously didn't happen in Minnesota for a long time, but how is it different here?
Well, in North Dakota, if you work with the state and maybe get a grant that about health and human services or through other departments, they have two people working with you. And then in the end of the year, they audit you and make sure they ask all the receipts.
So they're auditing to say, we gave you X amount of dollars. Every receipt, where do those dollars go?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there is accountability within North Dakota government. There is a balance, you know, and there is staff who are willing to make sure the taxpayers' money goes to the right organizations. So I am very frustrated when I hear what happened in Minnesota, because I sometimes blame, where is the government workers? Where is the money they supposed to monitor, and all the support that they supposed to give to the government to make sure all that kind of money, taxpayers' money, don't go like that.
So again, a lot of this could be put on government,
right,
not doing its job in Minnesota, A, and B, obviously, if we know 90% of the fraud that we now know of, at least, has been committed by Somalians, you got bad accountability and you got bad decisions and criminal activity. And that's who I blame for the fear that some in your community feel.
Right.
I blame them. I don't blame the people that are actually enforcing the law.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you did bring up one unfortunate incident of somebody being wrongfully detained and released. Right. Don't know the details of that, but I can understand how that would be something of concern. But how many Somalians here? 6,000?
6,000 around Fargo and Moorhead.
Yeah. So thankfully, this is rare. Kev, did you have a question for Fazia?
Yeah, Fazia. Well, and you talk about in Fargo and in North Dakota, and I feel bad for you, because in Minnesota, it's not just the Twin Cities. It's St. Cloud and Duluth, and it's happening all over the state, and it's Somali. It's people from the Somali community, largely. And I don't know how they come, or how you would, how do you come back from this? I mean, you know, how do you fix this? Because no one in that community seems to be standing up like you are here, saying, "Where's the accountability?" I haven't seen hardly any. So I just wonder how the road out works for this. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's only, I say Somalians in around America, there are over 200,000 Somalians. So they don't represent the whole Somalians. They represent some portion who have not been kept accountable. And one bad apple doesn't represent the whole community. There is a nice, hard workers, doctors, nurse, people who care for our elders who are Somalians, and they are just sweethearts. They don't deserve to go through this because of 50 people in Twin City or Duluth and St. Cloud who have done wrong. And so I ask the community to really not blame the whole community, as you know, because they are innocent. They will overcome this because they didn't do anything wrong. So
I
nobody
understand.
Takes the other person's sin.
Well, and the a big point of contention is criminality versus compliance. Number one, I think to your point in Minnesota, the government absolutely involved in this. They had to be. Nobody's that incompetent, and there's not that many people that are blind. But, you know, so the government is involved in this. But when a busload of Somali women show up with children for a photo opportunity to make the daycare look legitimate, yeah, those mothers aren't criminally liable, or, you know, probably, but they're certainly compliant. So how do we know? How do we know? We know you because your actions speak for themselves, and your history speaks for itself. But how the rest of Minnesota residents or around the country know who's doing what?
Well, you know, it comes from the government. So who's cutting the check? It's coming from Minnesota government. If I cut a $1 million check to a daycare, don't I want to go see and check if there is children there? Every other month, I need the list. I need to see it. I need to send my investigators because I'm investing in this daycare. So I am blaming both sides of the, you know, this situation, because the government has people they hire just to do the accountability part, you know. And so when 2-3 million goes out of the window, well, you gotta know what is that 3 million gonna do. It has to be an investment to the community. So if those mothers, their children went there, those mothers went to work and paid taxes. So I need to make sure those kids went to daycare. If it's only for photo ops, then I need to catch that. So this should not even supposed to happen. A lot of people should get fired for this.
Listener says, kudos to you for coming on the show. It takes courage for you to have a meaningful dialogue, and this is exactly what we need more of. My first point is that anyone could be detained by accident at any time. It happens thousands of times across the U.S. every day as law enforcement stops someone who matches the description of who they're looking for. Second, even with the additional scrutiny of Somalians living here, it's still 1,000 times better for Somalians living here than it would be in living in Somalia right now.
That's true. I agree. I couldn't disagree. There is no safety. There is no health, like good doctors that we have here. We have a very good doctors. Anytime you go to your doctor, you get taken care of. You know, in Somalia, if your blood is gushing, you go to the doctor. If you don't pay, they won't even take care of you. So that's the blessings that we have here. And that's why we want to stay. It's very sad to think the Somalians who are here are not patriotic enough. They are. They love this country to death.
But nobody's saying anything different, are they?
No.
A couple of our listeners are taking exception with the fact that you're blaming government in Minnesota. And I blame them as well. But I also blame the lawbreakers. You're not forgiving.
No.
The fraudsters.
No, I'm not.
You're just wondering, why in the world didn't they stop this sooner?
Why would you write $9 million check and not keep people accountable? That's my question.
Yeah.
They should be cut the first, you know, check that they wrote. You know, these people should be in jail a long time ago.
Because they're in on it. They got to be in on it. How would you not be?
Yeah, and you want these people in jail that broke these laws.
Exactly.
You want the illegal alien criminals, murderers, you know, assaults,
deported.
Rapes, yeah, gone, deported,
gone.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
for our safety, I have children, I have daughters, 4 daughters, imagine.
And I think the most unfortunate thing is that more people in the Somalian community aren't doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Down in the Twin Cities, I've seen none. There's one interview today that I'm going to play a little later on that Liz Collin did from Alpha News. Talking about the fraud and the threats and whatnot. And he has said that when he speaks out, he gets threats from the Somalian community.
Exactly. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that.
So maybe that's why more people haven't spoken out. They're in fear.
We have to be real about what's going on. I cannot testify for somebody who's a thief and who took money that's supposed to go to some people who really need it. You know, there is some mothers who cannot afford to go to work because they are single and they need that childcare support. So people who would take such a money from money that's supposed to go to hard-earning young women who are the future of this country, meaning they need to have, woman needs to have children for us to have next generation. So in order to help them, the child care system is to help single mother or a low-income mother to be able to go to work. So if you can take that benefit from them and steal it, you are not a good person. I would not be on your side, you know?
Listener wants to know how many Somali households in Fargo-Moorhead are on welfare. Do you have any idea?
They're all of them working. If you ask for, if you go to the production lines, they are most, they are hard workers. There are less Somalians in welfare, to be honest. They enjoy making money because welfare is not going to take you any far. You know, you can make up to 4,000 or 5,000 working hard per month. So why would you wait for 300 or 600? So most of Somalians are business owners. They are working hard, and we have less of them in the welfare system, in my knowledge, you know.
One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today was just about, first of all, I'm just, again, with the listeners and applauding the fact that you're speaking out against this, and I wish more would. I think it would go a long way to turning down the temperature.
Right.
But if Donald Trump was here today and we have the two of you together, what advice would you give him?
I will tell him, look, we have voted for you. Some of us Somalians, there is people who voted for you. We believe in you. So we need, get a little bit of trust and start building trust and working together, because you don't want to push our community away. We are part of this country.
And is there an example of where he's pushing Somalians away other than the criminals?
Well, you know, I'm saying mentally, I don't want the, not only Somalians, the immigrant community to kind of pull away from, you know, from the conservative side. There is a lot of conservative who voted for him who are immigrant. So, you know, we just, everybody agrees criminals must be taken care of and, you know, move them away. Fine with us. Every immigrant person you see, they agree on that. But they don't agree on really putting everybody in the same basket.
Who is doing that, though?
Well, that's how the feelings are right now. The way the actions that are taken against immigrant community.
The perception.
Yes.
And I would also say this, that a lot of political leaders who take support from the immigrant community for granted politically, are stirring up this fear.
Right.
They're whipping people into a frenzy, saying that, you know, ICE is going door to door and arresting people. Not true.
Right.
ICE is in the middle of a very challenging situation in the Twin Cities because the local government said there's a sanctuary city and they won't cooperate with them. So they have to go on the streets and find people who have committed atrocious crimes.
Right.
And Fawzi, I would say this too, is that, you know, with the sheer numbers of the Somali community, not only in Minnesota, but in Ohio, that they're finding all, it seems to be a playbook that these criminals are using, and the mass and the number of it, it's kind of like when you have a bowl full of M&Ms and, you know, a bunch of them are poison, you know, you wonder if you're going to eat any of them. You know, so that I think that's the problem that you face, and the members like you in your community that are hardworking, that want to achieve the American dream, that want to be Americans, go America first. That's the problem you're facing, and I don't know how you fix it.
Right. Well, you know, there is every community has one bad apple. It's not only the Somalians. There is a lot of white who do the same. There is black who do the same. There is Asians who have, stolen from so many different ways. But, you know, that doesn't mean the whole Somalian community are the same of those criminals, and they are handful. They are not the. They don't represent our community. That's what I want to send. The message I want to send is they don't represent us. We have.
You don't have to convince us. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think. Again, I think you know, people that just hate Donald Trump politically, you know, political opponents of his, are preying on these fears. Of the immigrant community,
right.
And saying things different than what his policies are, which is to say, if you break the law, if you are here and commit a crime, you're here illegally, A, but then you commit a crime besides. And again, the list of the offenses are just sickening,
right.
Of these people. That's who he's after.
Right.
You know, and so if I could have a virtual meeting with the Somali community in Fargo, I'd say, God bless you for, you know, doing what you do and following the law and getting up every day and providing for your family and going to work. You have nothing to fear.
Amen.
You know, and honestly, if you join us in speaking out against this criminal behavior, maybe it would be a way to police your own a little bit, call that out. And I think embolden people to say, gosh, isn't it great that these people are taking it on?
Mm.
Not saying that's easy.
It's not easy.
Because, you know, there'll be plenty of people looking down their noses at all of it. One listener said, would you please run for Congress and take the place of Ilhan Omar?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You'll have to move to Minnesota, though.
I love North Dakota. I'm not going anywhere.
Right? Yeah.
I had all my kids here, so I belong here. I belong to this town. So.
Exactly right.
Yes.
What else do you want people to know?
Well, you know, I love my community, and just... We are together. We are part of North Dakota, and we have been safe, and this is home, and we want support the same way. We are good people, and please don't harm your neighbors because of what's going on, and let's just be a community together and pray for each other.
Yeah, good advice. And in the meantime, immigrants who come here committing crime are the focus of the actions, unfortunately, of ICE being necessary to the degree they are in Minnesota because of, again, these sanctuary policies. 10,000 illegal criminal aliens have been arrested in Minneapolis. 10,000.
Well, I'm in support.
I know you are.
Yes.
And I think that's admirable. And I wish more in the Somalian community were. I wish more illegal immigrants were. Jane has a quick question before we let you go, Fazia.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jane. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
I feel like as Americans and Somali that they should dress like us, you know, and if they have special occasions for their hijabs and, you know, that they have to assimilate, you know, to our culture here.
Jane, if you were to look at me today, I look like you. I dress like you.
So, she's looking sharp, I'll tell you.
Yes. So we do dress for the business. And then when it comes to weekend and we are family and we dress back to our African dresses. So,
do you agree with her premise, though, assimilation is important?
It's very important to fit in and to look good. And I also fund, you know, some of my clients, when they are going for interview, I dress them up, too.
Of course you do.
Yes.
You're great support. Thank you for the time today. Appreciate the dialogue.
Thank you so much for having me.